Love music. Live sport. Let's hear it for the girls with Maureen McGonigal and Joe Ferry on Rock Sport Radio.
That was the jam there with Beat Surrender. Thanks for tuning in to Rock Sport Radio. It's Tuesday and that means it's time once again for Let's Hear It for the Girls, talking all things women in sport. I'm Jo Ferry and I'm joined as ever in the studio by Maureen McGonigal and our guest this evening, Scottish I nearly said karaoke there again, I swear.
Karate champion.
I get totally put off before we came in here. Kevin started talking about karaoke, yes. And ever since he said karaoke, I can't get the word karate out of my mouth.
Yeah, but Kevin wanted to speak about kamikaze.
This is the whole point. This is what it's
so
like
it's
in our
show. Confusing night, folks. It's a kind of confusing night.
It's a very confusing place at Rock Sport Radio. So we are joined tonight by Heather McElwraith, who's Scottish karate champion. Do you do karaoke, but?
I do not. I wish I could sing, but it's not something I'm good at.
Well, welcome to both of you.
Thank you very much.
What's been happening, Maureen?
Oh, as usual, loads and loads and loads. So this is my pick of the week. I was going to say a bit like Alan Freeman, but nobody will know who I'm talking about, so I'm going to shush. I think he died about 20 years ago, and he was about 80 at that point. Never mind. It was well played for the West for winning the Cricket Beyond Women's T20 final, and they were also superb runners-up and winners of the league this year for Edinburgh South. So cricket's a sport that's getting a little bit of attention. They did really well at the Team Sport Scotland Awards, having the male team won over England in a one-day series. And I think the girls are doing awfully well as well. So well done to cricket. And another wee sport that doesn't get much is water polo. And a big shout-out to Lauren Dundee, who played for the under-19s Great Britain team in the Eurochamps in Madeira. She was only Scot in the team. GB were placed in the same group as Hungary, Slovakia and Israel. However, they did fail to make the final cut, but I think it's a great experience for them. And I have to say, I was up at Dundee at one point watching water polo. I got invited up. It was fascinating. It was brilliant. You know, I took my mother with me. We had a wee trip up to Dundee and sat and watched it. And because you're up, you know, high, looking down, you can actually see all the action and pick it up pretty quickly. So I was really impressed.
I like watching water sports. I actually remember going to see the swimming at the Commonwealth Games when it was Glasgow 2014. It was amazing. Like, the atmosphere is brilliant. And you say, when you're actually looking down on it, it's a really great experience.
It's always nice and warm as well, isn't it?
It's always warm. It's about as hot as this studio.
Yeah, nice and warm. So going to curling. So 24 teams from around the world were competing in the Curling World Cup in China last week. And it was a good start for Team Muirhead, who won their opening match 6-5 against Japan. And this time they were skippered by Jen Dodds for the first time. And Eve Muirhead has been out through injury. She's actually had an operation and she's currently in rehab. So the first leg went to Canada, but as I can make it out, the second leg is in Omaha in the US in December. So unusual for Eve Muirhead not to be there, but she was tweeting away quite the thing. And I think there was something with her back. And if you can imagine the sort of position you get in as a curler, having watched that sport, the stretches they do is amazing, isn't it?
It's incredible.
And I'm just thinking, you know, your knees and everything have got to be very strong, your core strong, to enable you to take that through.
And they hold that position for so long as well. Just like, it's incredible.
Yeah. So, yeah, good start for them and time to pick up as they go to, as I say, US in December. So on to cycling now. And a University of Liverpool team has broken the female and male hand cycle land speed records at the World Human Powered Speed Challenge in the US. Halifax-born Karen Dark, and this is where it comes in, who lives in Inverness, set her speed of 41.86 miles per hour over a 2.5-mile course in a hand-pedalled powered bike.
Wow.
So I'm reading a lot about what Karen's doing out there. It sounds pretty hard work, pretty hard going. But again, it's something because we've seen more and more of what's happening in the Paralympics. We're more and more aware of the achievements yeah. that are made in these sports. So well done to Karen.
Excellent.
And triathlon, it was a silver for Erin Wallace. And I'll get a little plug in here because Erin Wallace was Scottish Women in Sports Young Sportswoman of the Year. I can't remember
amazing.
If it was last year or the year before because we're coming up November to this year's.
Wow.
But a shout out for Erin because, and also for Kate Waugh, who won the gold. Who won in the Gold Coast in Australia in the triathlon. So again, they're just demonstrating that Scotland and Britain has a healthy pipeline for young athletes as well as senior stars. And, you know, it's amazing. Triathlon's in the television a lot this weather, you know, following it. And, oh my goodness, does that look exhausting?
It looks like one of the hardest sports out there. It's just so much all in one.
And it's not even, you know, so much that you do it, but then you've got to, you know, transfer from the water to the bike to running, and you know, the shoes on the bike ready just to pop your feet in. It's amazing how, you know, things are streamlined for them, but wow.
I'm just glad I do an inside sport.
I can do triathlon if my life depended on it. It's, yeah. It just looks.
But
Erin
was also a finalist for the Young Athlete of the Year in last Thursday's Team Scotland Awards. However, that accolade was given to Lucas Thompson for diving. So, but it was great for her to be mentioned. And as I say, she's still a young girl, got a lot of a big future in front of her with the triathlon. And paraclimbing, well, Becca Seller, who has been in to the studio, we did a programme with Becca. She's an amazing young woman. She came third in the first round of the British paraclimbing series last week. Becca, who also plays football for the Scotland amputee team, is a below-the-knee amputee and continues showing us all the way for women in sport. She's just an amazing young woman. She's a chemist.
She's amazing. Becca came in and she was chatting to us and she's like, okay, so, you know, I play football, I do wall climbing, studying and, you know, everything. You're just like, how do you fit in all the time to do this? But I think for her as well, because she'd been, her condition had kind of held her back for a couple of years and she was in recovery, and I think that kind of pushed her on. She had that determination to go, no, I'm not, not doing this. So I think she appreciates the fact that she can do all these things, so she just goes at it.
And unfortunately, she told us that she had been at the receiving end of a lot of bullying when she was at school, so I think that gave her the determination.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, she's tiny, and there she is out, you know, doing amputee football, the only girl on the team, representing Scotland at football, and now doing really well in climbing. So, it's great to see her doing it, So weightlifting, so I'm thinking here that might be something that you have to do to build up your strength for karate.
Just as normal gym work, weightlifting is a massive part of that. Again, just for general strength, but also it creates a really good like strength to power to speed ratio. So we have to be really fast and move really fast, but still be really strong. And weightlifting is great for that.
Do you know what's strange? We had Lisa Tobias in, who's a weightlifter. I think this is when Liz was doing the programme. And she's a tiny girl. And she actually started off being a gymnast. And after she had her kids, she wanted to go back. And so she wanted to build up her strength and started doing weightlifting. And the guy said, you have got an amazing strength to build this up.
Yeah.
And now she's making her career as a weightlifter. But, you know, you're looking here at Heather and you're looking at Lisa. Nobody would, you couldn't walk into a room and say, I know what she does as a sport. It's just, you know, people just couldn't guess that at all. But for weightlifting this week, there was a silver medal for Beth, who's with Team Kavanagh. And she's been out for a while. But she picked up the silver at the British Under 23 Championships, and Team Kavanagh do a lot of work with women in weightlifting, so it's good to hear that they're getting the medals.
Excellent.
Yeah. Athletics, great news. After a season, had a great season for Laura Muir, she's finished the season ranked number one female in the 1500 metres. I mean, that is amazing. That's ranked number one in the world.
That's incredible.
You know, a girl from Scotland. And we say every week, you know, she's balanced that with university and she's now balancing it with a career, and she's number one in the world.
That just shows you, though, the determination to pull through, I think, when you've got these kind of, I wouldn't say obstacles, because it's just, it's not obstacles, it's life, it's work and your day-to-day things, and it's what everybody has to do in their day-to-day life. But I think the fact that she can fit all that in and then end up number one in the world just shows the massive Just like, just the strength in her.
A steely determination just to do it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And for her hard work, she also picked up Female Athlete of the Year. And she really must be in a shout for being Scottish Women in Sports, Sportswoman of the Year. But I believe she is currently still in Canada with, we haven't mentioned her for a while, Gemma Rickey. So the two of them are in Canada enjoying their holiday, but I think it's coming to an end now. And back to the grind.
That's right. I forgot. I forgot because Gemma said the last time she was in that they were going on holiday, but this was like a training free holiday, and it was all.
She was away to book it that day. So
that's right. Yeah.
A couple of wee tweets from Canada. I think they've had a right chilled out time.
It's well deserved.
Well deserved. You're quite right, isn't it? I mean, it's hard work. Hard work. Focusing to be number one, and then focusing to sort of, you know, go through university and pass your exams with flying colours, become a vet.
It's amazing that she's done that.
Yeah.
It really is.
Yeah. And football, Glasgow City recorded their first away leg knockout win in the UEFA Women's Champions League. That's the first time since 2011. And they get two goals, one from Hayley Lauder and Leanne Crichton. And that ensured them an important win over Zomatio Barcelona of Cyprus. Strange name for a Cypriot team. It's a bit confusing, but they are from Cyprus. So the return leg will take place on Thursday the 27th September at Peters Hill Park, and tickets are currently on sale. £10 for adults, £5 for under-16s. I think you can purchase them through their website, but I'm sure they will be available on the night as well. So good luck to Glasgow City. We'll keep an eye open for that one.
Brilliant.
And finally I take you to golf. Aberdeenshire Ladies won the Scottish Women's County Finals for the first time since 1986 by the tightest of margins. Now, wait till you hear this, Joe. In the round-robin format, Aberdeenshire, Midlothian and holders Renfrewshire all won 2 out of 3 matches, so the title was decided on the most match points scored across all 3 matches.
Oh,
so,
my God.
Bit of a headache if you happen to be an official trying to figure that one out.
Oh, my.
And a bit of a disappointment, you know, for the other two teams.
Yeah.
But that is sport, and we can only have one winner.
That's life. Mm-hmm. That's life. But before we finish up the round off, my good grief, Maureen and I were out gallivanting last week. We went to see the premiere of the new Tommy Burns documentary.
Yeah, we did, didn't we?
It was fantastic.
Yeah.
So it's by BBC Alba, mm-hmm. and we kept saying Alba, but yeah. they've told us the correct Scottish pronunciation is Alba. So it's BBC Alba, and it's actually going to be aired on Thursday, the 21st of September. It was by Margot McQuaig, and it was an amazing documentary.
I think it might be Friday, the 21st, Joe.
Is that Friday, the 21st?
Yeah. I'm convinced it's Friday the 21st.
Could be right.
Yeah.
Well, it's 21st.
Yeah.
It maybe was a Thursday, maybe a Friday.
It was wonderful, you know. It was uplifting, but it was still, you know, it was heartbreaking. A young man, but it's listening to his family and his passion for his football. So, you know, it's a good watch.
Do you know what's the funniest thing? Before we actually went in, Liz Clark was with us too. And before we went in, she said, I remember years ago, Tommy and his wife used to always go up on karaoke and sing Islands in the Stream. And she said it at the time. And then on the documentary, I can't remember who it was, but one of the contributors said, yeah, and he used to be up, they'd be up singing and they used to sing Islands in the Stream, and I just turned to Liz going, no way! Like, that's what we were just talking about. So it was really personal, yeah. And it involved a lot of his family and kind of telling stories about obviously his legacy in football, but a lot about how they kind of handled his kind of passing, and then much before that, like all the funny stories about him, because he's just such a hilarious guy. Like, all the stories were mad.
It had everything, didn't it? So definitely a good watch. And Margot has been in here telling us about mm-hmm. her involvement, and I think she was on Liz's programme the day of the showing as well. So
right.
Yeah, it was well worth the night out.
Absolutely, and it's well worth a watch. That's the Tommy Burns documentary on BBC Alba on the 21st of September, and it's at 9 o'clock. So be sure to tune in, and we'll be back with more from Heather McElwraith right after this.
Love music. Live sport. Let's hear it for the girls with Maureen McGonigal and Joe Ferry on Rock Sport Radio.
We are back. You're listening to Rock Sport Radio, and it's time at this week for Let's Hear It for the Girls, where we're talking all things women in sport. But tonight our guest is Heather McElwraith, who is a Scottish karate champion. Got it right this time.
A karate champion, yes.
But she enjoys karaoke.
I wish I could do
in her spare
karaoke
time. Yeah.
So, Heather, tell us, how did you get started in karaoke? Karaoke? Oh my God, why?
Can I just make a public apology for my friend? Heather, how did you get started in karate?
I know, honestly, I keep saying it. I'm going to kill Kevin. He was the one that did that. Oh, how did you get started in karate? Because you were quite young. You've been doing it for 17 years.
Yes, I was 4 when I started, and my parents just got me and my brother into it. It was just happened to be the club that was nearby that was a martial art. My parents just wanted us to have basic self-defence, bit of fitness. When we were younger, we did every kind of sport. Karate just happened to be the one that stuck, but it was my parents that got me and my brother into it.
It definitely stuck. I mean, 17 years later.
Yes,
that's
17.
A long time to be doing one sport, isn't it?
Yeah. Do you know, you don't really think about it as a long time, but when you say it to people and they're like, that's really long, you're like, oh, I suppose it's your whole life, really.
Well, yeah, when you think about it, it is most of your whole life.
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us about karate. Explain to us about karate. Because there's so many different martial arts.
Yeah, that's true. So karate, at its roots, is self-defence. So it's not like MMA or boxing where you're going out to attack your opponent in the way that you see on, like, the TV. So in its roots, it's self-defence. Judo's more holds and grabs and throws. Karate's just more punching and kicking. In competition, under 18s, so for the juniors, contact to the body is totally fine, nothing wrong with that, but you've got to be a wee bit careful with contact to the face. So we're not a full contact sport when it comes to competition. 18 plus, so seniors, gets a wee bit more leeway. They can get a wee bit more face contact, and it becomes a wee bit more full contact, but we're not full contact the way you'd see in boxing. So it is more self-defence, but again, for competition, it can't strictly be self-defence, because then no one would actually be doing any fighting. So it's a wee bit different. But all martial arts are different, and I suppose unless you do one of them or some of them, you won't notice, really, because to most people it is just a martial art.
Yeah.
But they are all a wee bit different.
Uh-huh. And karate, it's points kind of orientated, isn't it?
Yeah, so you get different points for different techniques that you score. So the simplest way in karate, for a head punch or a body punch, it's 1 point, body kicks 2 points, head kicks and sweeps are 3 points, and you'll fight anywhere between 2 and 3 minutes depending on your age and what where you are in your age group. So seniors are 3 minute fights, so anywhere between 2 and 3 minutes, and you just have your fight and the referee gives the points where you score them, so anywhere between 1 and 3 points each technique.
So it sounds to me really, really quite brutal. Because of the use of the word punch, you know, kind of thinking, do you think that puts people off participating in karate? Because, I mean, obviously, the object of the exercise is not to harm your opponent. It's a touch sort of point system, isn't
it?
Yeah.
We aren't, like I said, we're not full contact. So, but anything to the body, you can hit as hard as you like, really, kind of within reason. Any excessive power, you can get warnings for. But I think a lot of younger people, when like wee kids, when they start out, they love the idea of going about punching people in class. Like, they're all mates and they go about punching their mates in class. But obviously, as you get a bit older, if you start from a young age, you just kind of learn that that is what it is. Martial art is what it is. Despite we're not quite full contact, we still do sometimes take knocks and we get winded and sometimes like have to sit out for 5 minutes. But then you just get back up and... It's a martial art. It's what you really sign up for.
I suppose it's regulated, isn't it? And I mean, a lot of it is about control.
Yes, definitely. If in competition we don't have control, we get warnings. And if you end up with 4 warnings, you can get disqualified. So you need to be controlled. There's no one out there that's going about trying to hurt you because they will get themselves disqualified. And in competition, no one wants that.
Okay, so quick math. If you were to kick me in the head, in the stomach, and punch me in the face, how many points would you get?
6.
That's decent. But when you start off, you said you started off with your brother. Was it quite male orientated when you were young?
When I was younger, most of the people at karate were all guys. Like, all my friends from karate when I was younger were all male. There was maybe 1 or 2 other females. My coach is a female. So we've always had her and our wee sister there. So that's always been great. We have always had a female there, but the majority of it was male. The older I got, though, and the longer I'd been doing it, more females came in, which was great. Like, now, for our club particularly, our competitors are split pretty even, male to female. We've got loads more females in, and it's great not just having males there, because it's nice to train with someone, especially when you're at those kind of teenage years. It's really nice to be able to train with a female as well, because guys are obviously just built differently. They're like, just all their genetic makeup's all different, so it's nice to be able to have like a female there. But also it's nice to have the guys there to really make you push.
Now, I must say, you're saying, oh, it was nice to have a female there, but you actually got your black belt when you were 11, so I'm pretty sure you could have taken any of them that came near you.
I did. I was 11 when I got my black belt. At the time, I think it was the youngest in our club, and they have been younger since. But this is all, I was 11 about 10 years ago.
Wow.
So, for my black belt grading, I had the normal grading, but black belts have to do like another extra bit at the end, and my extra bit at the end was I had the five boys that were like my age lined up, and I had to fight each of them about a minute and a half, 2 minutes straight after each other. So my black belt grading was me just fighting the boys.
Because that was actually going to be my next question. If there's not, or if there wasn't a lot of girls, did you have to participate against the boys?
Yeah.
So that in karate, it's girls, boys. Is it a weight class? How do they separate you?
Well, in class, for training purposes, you'll fight everyone. Mm-hmm. Competition, it's split male and female, and then they're again split into their weights. So you usually have the weight category, so everyone's kind of roughly the same height, roughly the same weight, so it's pretty even that way. But in training, you just supposed to swap around everyone. I could be against one of the guys who are like 6 foot, or one of the wee kids who are like half my height. And it's just, it's great to fight someone who's either a wee bit heavier or a wee bit taller, because then you will learn how to like work with that. And if you can fight them, you can then fight people your own weight and height.
Did you feel there was a kind of differentiation within like your class? Because like, so I think a girl would quite happily kind of go, yeah, I'm, you know, I'm going to kind of like beat up a boy kind of thing. But did you ever feel like the boys kind of wanted to take it easy on you, or were a bit kind of standoffish because they were aware you were female? And
I would say no. Like, we are really lucky with the club we're in. Like, most of our club are all international athletes. Like, the competitors in our club are doing amazing, and they will just treat you as another athlete. Obviously, there's got to be a wee bit careful. If you get like scalped in the chest as a girl, it's not fun, but the guys will just treat you like another athlete.
I just saw your face there and I was like, oh no.
Yeah, but there isn't any, like, if you're being really typical, guys can generally hit a wee bit harder, but if you can take it from the guys, you can take it from the girls in your category. So there's no reason why you can't just go full out with them as well.
You spoke about your club there. Give us a little shout out to the club.
My club is Shetakai Scotland, and we train in Renfrew.
Wow, yeah. And you train how often?
I train karate 4 times a week. So Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday nights, and then Saturday mornings and Saturday afternoon.
How long are your training periods?
It varies, but roughly kind of, we can go anywhere from between an hour and a half, 2 hours, to nearly 3 hours.
Every night?
Yeah.
Wow.
We're closer to 2 hours, but we can push.
Is this a night off for you?
Tonight, I actually was here instead of training to speak to you guys. So
she skipped out.
Uh-huh.
Oh, it's one of those
very
things.
Privileged, eh?
I know.
I hope she's not going to train in us later.
Oh, good Lord, no, please. No, definitely not.
It always crops up, Jill.
I know. I've been challenged by every guest we've had on this show, and I'm yet to take up challenge, so good luck. But as well as so you had your black belt when you were 11. Your second Dan black belt when you were 17. You're currently the Scottish champion for both the under 21 and senior category. You're second in Britain for under 21s and third in Britain for seniors. You've represented Scotland as part of Scotland's national team at European Championships twice, once in Bulgaria and once in Russia, and you represent Scotland at one World Championships in Tenerife. So you've travelled a good bit with karate as well.
I have, yeah.
Not a bad CV, that, is it?
I know.
Not a bad CV at all.
That should get people into karate. I think that's one of the things about sport. Whenever I hear about people travelling to competitions and going to all these different places, I think that's a key thing to get people involved in sport, because you get to see so much of the world.
The secret is you fly there, you go to a stadium, you go to a hotel, and you fly back. Yeah.
Yeah. As much as people say, oh, you've seen so much of the world, it is. I've seen so many inside stadiums. Like, yeah. All the stadiums, they just all start looking the same. I think the stadiums, though, stadiums in Russia were built for the Winter Olympics when they were held in Sochi, and they were incredible. So as much as a stadium's a stadium, there is some exceptions where you're just like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
But you do generally see your hotel and the stadium, and then you're back to the airport. Don't always get time to explore. But it is good to get all over the place at the very least.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, like, the accolades you've already got just now are incredible, and you're so young as well. But you're kind of looking towards another big competition, Tokyo.
Yes, karate has been accepted into the Olympics for the first time for Tokyo 2020. So we're looking to see if we can get a team out there. It's still a trial sport, so we're only having, as it stands right now, we're only having 10 people per category, so it's not every country's going to be there, not every country's going to be competing, but we are pushing to see if we can get some Team GB members, and at the very least, we are pushing for Tokyo, but then 2024 after that, and it's only just going to get bigger and better, so we're just trying to put that bit of Olympic professionalism into British karate, because before there was English karate and Scottish karate, but we didn't merge, we didn't have a British team. So having this goal of going to the Olympics, it's really just pulling everything together and just making it as professional as possible.
Yeah, and I mean, you're so passionate about it as well, so it must be frustrating, the fact that it's still, although it's going just now, it's still a trial, and it's, you know, you want that platform, you want it to be there for, you know, kind of forevermore, really, don't you?
Yeah, it's good that we're there in the first place, though, because it's not been something that we've ever been able to do before. Training, professional Olympic athletes, has been something that we've always wanted to do, but we've never had the opportunity. But being Olympic, at least for Tokyo, it's a great opportunity for us just to start acting and behaving like full Olympic athletes.
Yeah,
I was wondering, what country is the top country for karate? You know, some countries have a specific sport. What would you say is the top country for karate?
Outside of Europe, talking world circuit, Japanese are very good, I suppose, in karate. Originated there, that's pretty standard, it'd be Japanese. But within the European circuit, your French and your Spanish competitors are really doing really well right now. They're the ones that are wiping the floor of the medal tables.
Wow.
So they're doing really well.
Uh-huh. And of course, you were saying earlier on, in terms of girls coming into the sport, they're coming in big numbers now.
Yes, karate is the highest intake of female athletes in Scotland. So women are just wanting to come to karate, and it's great. I do think it's amazing. I definitely have seen it as well in our own club, that there's so many more girls now. And it's a great thing for them to get into, apart from anything else. It's just that basic fitness and basic self-defence.
Yeah, was it a particular campaign to get women in? Or, I mean, what do you think's generated this interest?
I think just generally for women getting into sport, there's just so much going on right now about trying to get young girls at the school level into sport, and trying to get females feeling that sport isn't just a guy's thing. There's so many female athletes out there, but I do believe there's still a bit of, especially in martial art, it's seen as a guy's thing, and it's really not. It is for everyone. You're young or you're old. Karate is amazing.
For a lot of young girls now, I think that's what they actually want to do, is challenge these perceptions, isn't it? You know, the young girls are coming through.
This is the thing, I think, part of the reason I think that karate has become so big is the self-defence aspect of it, because I think there's obviously been a lot in the media of kind of women's empowerment and, you know, different movements, and I think a big part of it is that kind of basic self-defence, but I think women are in a position now where they want to challenge the guys, and it's they want to kind of head on and just have that equality that's kind of never been there, because you said yourself, when it started it was very male dominated, and then now in that time, that's maybe what, in the space of 10 years,
between
10 and 15 years, now it's massively dominated by women.
Yeah, and we're not pigeonhole women now into a specific sport. Yeah. What we're saying is, you know, you wanted to try it, you try it. And obviously they're trying it and they're liking it and they're staying there. Mm-hmm. And that's what's giving you your increase in numbers. So
I think as well that the kind of image of women right now is trying to be that strong woman. And strong women aren't being like looked down at. They're like the ones that are being built up, and it's so important to have so many women out there feeling strong. And with a martial art, you just have that confidence to literally just walk down the street and feel safer.
Yeah.
And it's a great feeling, and it's great that more women are taking up, and I hope it continues like that, because it's such a great thing to have.
Absolutely, I'm sure it will.
But you had an interesting point, Joel. I mean, you were keen to find out how Heather would react in a social circle.
Yes, I wanted to ask when Heather came
as into usual, you've got to bring it down to a level. Come on, spit it out.
I always hit out with the awkward questions.
So Heather came in tonight and I said, Heather, do you have a boyfriend? She said, yes, I've got a boyfriend. I said, well, how did your boyfriend feel about having a girlfriend that could kick his... ears.
I'll try and keep it polite.
And it's this kind of conversation, because I think you said yourself, as soon as it's kind of mentioned, it's not something you open with when you meet people, but when it gets known amongst your kind of group of friends that you're actually a karate champion, I think there's this kind of thing of people maybe look at you and go, all right, cool, and like as if they don't believe you. And then it's the opposite of that, where people then want to challenge you, and it's as if they instantly have this thing of like, well, I'll arm wrestle you and see if I can beat you.
And when you say people, you're really meaning male people.
Yeah, well, I was going to challenge her across the desk here, but...
but we know you're kidding. We know that you're just having us on.
But have you had that before with guys? Do you feel that they're a bit kind of taken aback or a bit almost intimidated when you say this is what you do?
Sometimes, to be fair, it's not been something that's been prominent that I've noticed all the time. I've got a few guy friends who aren't from karate, and they're so chill about it. Like, if we meet a bunch of guys in a night out or something, they're, like, chatting away, and it's, oh, just watch, because, like... she'll kick your ass, but obviously it's not something you go about doing. But so they're really supportive of it, and it's just that. But I think when you meet new people, it's kind of like, oh, really? Like, really? And I'm like, oh, yeah. And you don't want to sit there and list off all the things you've done and start bragging about anything, but you're just like, yeah. And
then you should just turn around and be like, do you want me to kick you in the head? Because well, I'll prove it.
Let's describe you to the listeners. You're about what, five, six. Okay. You're very slim built.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I'm about 10 stone or something.
Lovely long blonde hair and a beautiful pale complexion. It's not what you would think if you're lying in bed thinking, if I'm going to bump into a karate woman, I think she'll look like, you know, 15 stone, you know, ready to rough
it. Never judge a book by its cover, Maureen.
Oh, you're so, so right.
Life lessons.
Oh, I think I'll just retire now. But it's true. You know, people would not expect to see that from you. And does that give you like an inner confidence?
Yeah, it does, I suppose. My brother is a couple of years older than me, and he's built like a bear. He's massive. He looks like, honestly looks like...
There's a shop called that in Bayhead, is there not?
But, so it's great because people would look at him and expect that he could like hold his own, and I think he could hold his own more than people would expect, but you can at least see it. But with me and I suppose anyone else, any other female at karate, we all just look the same. Not the same, but we're all... No one looks like they're going to go and... smash through any windows or anything. Like, we're all just kind of normal, slim build, athletic built, but it's good. It's nice though, because I like sometimes when people are like, oh yeah, you do karate, and you've got that wee shock in their face, and it's like, oh yeah. But
so what do you need? Where does your strength come from? Is it your core? Is it your arms, your legs? In tactics, do you need to use your head a lot? Tell us a wee bit about this sort of thought behind all that.
For me, it was a bit of everything, but I do kata, and kata is more like a routine. So the easiest way to explain it to someone who doesn't know is it's kind of like floor gymnastics. All our techniques come from our base, so our base and our core have to be solid. Anytime we do any move, we have to link our base through our core up to our upper body, so your core is absolutely solid. It's got to be what really drives everything. And then we just think about like your arms as just an extension of the rest of your body. So you just, but generally though, having just general core athletic strength. When the gym, I do loads of weights and Olympic lifting. I've started doing that in the last kind of year. Loving Olympic lifting. But it doesn't make you, it depends how you do it, but if you're doing it, it doesn't make you like this massive, big, muscly person. If you're, for kata, you want to look heavy in the mat. You want to look strong in the mat, because you've not got an opponent standing in front of you to take a hit and tell everyone that really hurt. So you've got to look like you're really strong, but at the same time, you have to be fast and you have to be sharp. And you have to be able to move from one place to another, from 0 to 100. So it's just general athleticism is so important. But if we're going to like pin it down, we our base and our core is what drives every technique.
Sounds like a bit of a performance, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah. It does. And you'd said as well, it's not just like a physical thing, it's a mental thing, because it's all very kind of tactical and...
Yes. Each kata, so each like routine, you're in a fight. So that's your mindset. You're not just walking through moves. Like you are in a fight. Each technique you do has to be like a takedown. So it's a mental... It's quite strenuous in the mind. Like thinking about it, if the full kata could be 3 to 5 minutes long in each one of your moves, is like it's got to be a takedown. There's no kind of like second chances with it. As if you're picturing yourself like fighting 4 or 5 other people. So... it is quite a thing in the mind, but also doing that for the whole 5 minutes, it's like staying within that kata. Like you can't come out, because then you like lose balance or lose focus and lose concentration. So it is, it's a lot of mind games, and then in competition, picking what kata to use when. You do a different one in every round. So depending on who you've got, what competition it is, what country you're in, it's all about picking the right kata at the right time for the right person, because everyone's katas are different.
That's fascinating, isn't it?
I had to take a deep breath. I'm actually looking at you going, how do you function? How do you even, like that is mental how much you have to, like,
and I was going to say, actually, mental it is, because you're talking about being in this space for a full 5 minutes, and although you're putting on a performance, you're not looking for feedback, because you're actually in this bubble of your own.
Yeah. You've no idea what's going on, like, around you, like, someone could be banging a drum, like, just 2 feet away from you, and you wouldn't know. Like, you're just so in it. Like, you're in the zone. And it's like that for fighters as well. Like, you just don't know what's going on outside that tatami.
If Joe was singing karaoke, would you would you be able to pick that up? It's just a question that came into my head.
I think there's more chance of me singing karaoke at the sidelines than me ever participating in karaoke.
Well, if you hear a strange noise at one point, look round. You might see Joe giving a latest karaoke numbers.
They do that in boxing, don't they? They have your walk-in song.
Yes,
we could start this with, it could be karate karaoke. I can do it. I'll do it.
That
I'll
is easy for you to say, Joe.
Yeah, sorted. I know. See, I'm coming up with new things now.
Oh, brilliant!
So one of the things we always end up discussing, I think, in women's sport is funding. So in Britain, karate is a non-funded sport. So it is unlike many high-profile sports, particularly Olympic sports, in that sense.
Yes, we don't have funding for karate. It's not anything that we have government funded, we don't have it privately funded, so that makes it difficult. So obviously you need to pay for training, you need to pay for your kit, you need to pay for your travel, and then when you're going abroad to competitions, you need to pay all of that yourself. I'm fortunate enough that my parents are still supporting me financially, because when I'm at uni, if I'm not at uni, I'm training, so I don't have time for like a job, and if I do, then I have to sacrifice either studies or training. But it is like, even my parents support me, you can only do so much. Yeah. You want to get to all the competitions, you want the experience on the world mat, you want the experience in all these competitions with the top players, but it's not always financially possible, or you're really making cuts to see where you can get yourself going. There's competitions every other week all over the world, but you just can't always get to them. Even the ones in Britain, this weekend we've got the British Championships down in Leicester. And even just going down to England, it's for even an overnight and all your fuel down there. It's hard, because there's so many people who could be doing so well but are just financially burdened, and it's so hard. It's a shame.
But you're quite fortunate, because you're University of Strathclyde, and I think they support you in terms of your access to the gym, etc.
Yes. In my third year at uni, I found out about Strathclyde having a sports bursary. So I was given £600 by the university as a bursary, and we get our sports membership, our gym membership, free, which is a massive help. And Strathclyde have a brand new sports facility. I think it was like £31 million or something built. Whoa. It was incredible. Yeah. I was in it earlier on today, and it really is. It's amazing. It's well worth it. But even just having those amazing facilities, like any facilities are always helpful, but having such a good new campus facility, it really does help. Even just not having to worry about paying for a membership for a gym. Yeah. Knowing that I can go in and train whenever it is I want, before and after class.
And that being the case as well, like if it's, you know, with... karate being a non-funded sport, how do you go about collecting your team going forward for the Olympics?
Right now, we, I suppose, haven't got an Olympic team. I think one of the fighters down in England, one of the guys, he's senior world champion right now. And he, is, I think, is a really kind of like poster guy for GB. He's doing really well. So it's hard because when it comes to the Olympics, because we're only getting 10 people per category as it stands, they're going to world rankings at least for the first couple of spaces. And to get onto the world rankings, you need to go to the competitions where you get ranking points. And they are not in Britain, so they're abroad. Some are in Europe, some are further afield. If you go to these competitions, you get participation points. So even if you're just going to every competition and only getting through a couple of rounds, you're still building up your points. But for people in Britain in general, not having that funding or having no funding at all, getting to enough competitions to build up enough ranking points is really difficult. So it's hard that way. So it is kind of, if you can afford to go, you get your ranking points. Still, you need to obviously be really well to get through enough rounds to get enough ranking points. But just the way it's working just now is if you can afford to go, then you're doing well with at least getting some points on the board there. Maybe not for Tokyo, but maybe for like 2024, just building those ranking points. Because they're hard if you can't go to these competitions.
Yeah. I assume that'll only be the case for the demonstration year, because if they do accept it into the Olympics, then it would be a GB team. So that would change the face of it, and perhaps there would be a bit more support come through the British Olympic Association. But because it's demonstration sport, yeah, that's the problem.
What we're hoping, and it's happened with other sports, so it's not really unrealistic, but we're kind of hoping, you know, once the sport gets into Olympics and it gets that kind of chatter and it gets that like interest in it, more money goes into it.
Yeah, it raises the profile, yeah, doesn't
and
it?
And if you get medals, so even if one or two British people go, we get the medals, and then the funding should follow or would start to follow after that. But also, if it goes into the Olympics and becomes a full Olympic sport, there will be more than 10 people a category. So yeah, GB would be able to submit people as same as any other country. So hopefully it won't... There's not really any other way they can do it right now. Like, they're doing it in ranking points because it's the way it works. There isn't really another solution for it.
Yeah,
it just seems because there's 10.
Yeah, it seems a wee bit sad, doesn't it? That, you know, for turning up you get points, but, you know, if you can't afford to turn up, yeah, you're not going to get them, but you might be the better athlete.
Yeah.
It's hard, yeah. But hopefully once, after 2020, like, British karate, we will kind of get it sorted. And it's not the British karate that have decided, obviously, the ranking points. It's not anything to do with them. But when we'll get like a team sorted and we'll be able to kind of figure it out, and the karate, the WKF, the World Karate Federation, will have different schedules in place for how to get to the Olympics. But since there is only, right now as it stands, 10 people per category, it's hard to figure out who's going.
So not only do you do sport in your spare time, but you're actually studying journalism, which might lead you down the track to... sports journalism, yeah?
Yes, I'm doing journalism and creative writing at Strathclyde Uni, and I'm loving it. It's great. And I've been surrounded by sport my whole life, so that's where I've got an interest. So sports journalism is something I would definitely like look into going into. I'm in my final year now, so not get too long left before I'll need to start making decisions.
So you've had a little spell, actually, in Rocksport Radio.
I have,
how did that go?
Oh, it was great. So over the summer, I was in on Mondays just, so one day a week, so I was still training and everything. And I was in helping the producers, doing a wee bit of producing, getting some people on to talk about their stories and their sport, and getting some of the scripts written up. So it was just a great experience, like just seeing how everything works, apart from anything else, just being in that environment. So it's not something you usually do, unless like being in a radio station is not something that... you have much experience or exposure to it at all. So it was great to like just see how everything goes, and it's great seeing the other side of it as well here.
Ah, the other side of it, right enough.
I know. You come to the dark side. So you're obviously, you're kind of going to play things by ear, I guess. Like, would you want to go full time into karate if you had the option to do that?
If that was something that I had an option to do, I would absolutely do that. I love writing and I love journalism and I love my course. But it would always be there for me, and it's something I can always do, even if I do full-time sport. But right now, being a full-time athlete in karate isn't feasible. Like I said, there's no funding in it. I need a job to then pay for everything that as I want to do and need to do.
Is sponsorship an option?
I know of individual people in Karate who are sponsored, sponsored by like businesses or companies, like local companies. I know within Karate you can be sponsored by like a brand. So like there's a brand called Arawaza. They do Karate suits and Budo Nord. They do suits in Adidas. And then they would sponsor, sometimes sponsor like athletes, and you'd get kit from them and you'd like rip their suits in their kit. So that takes a wee bit of pressure off. But as it stands, it's really just if you can get any kind of sponsorship from local businesses or companies. And it's hard. It's hard to get. There's so many, obviously so many athletes out there kind of looking for local support, and businesses can only do so much.
Yeah, and that's a common thread through, you know, what we have here. You know, every Tuesday night and Let's Hear It for the Girls, you know, a lot of the sports. In fact, I was just reading today, the girls from Tug of War arrived in South Africa.
Right.
And they went into the gym to train and they found the Warriors there. So they were training with the Warriors.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they had to fundraise to get themselves there as well. And it's amazing what people do. But I'm thinking in terms of your course in university and your sport, it kind of gives you the opportunity to maybe do it all, because you're flexible in terms of time. You know, if you were taking up journalism, it's not a 9-to-5 thing, so you could still do this. In fact, you could write wherever you are. You've got your laptop and that shoe.
A lot of things for journalism. You can freelance as well. You can write, and then I could write about what it's like being an athlete, and then that can like take me elsewhere. But yeah, you can write from anywhere doing journalism.
Yeah. Do you do your blog or anything like this just now?
I actually don't, but for my final year at uni, I have to do a blog for one of my classes, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. I actually can't wait. Right now I'm planning on doing it on what it's like to be an athlete. We only had the class today, and I was like, do you know, that's exactly what I want to do. I'm really excited for it.
So, sorry, jumping in there. Just one more question. So, within the university course that you're doing, it's not sports journalism; it's just journalism, and you happen to be choosing sport.
It's journalism and creative writing is the course. So, we do a bit of creative writing, but journalism. I naturally kind of gravitate towards sport. My dissertation is going to be next semester. I'm really looking forward to it, if that's at all possible.
She's looking forward to everything. That's what happens when you're young. You look forward to everything.
So happy.
What have I got to look forward to? That's what I want to know.
She gets a little angry. Gets people in the head, and then she comes in here, braids.
Do you know what you're You might be right. I might try that.
Dare you?
Why not?
No, I meant getting my anger out. Not karate or karaoke. I've tried that right now. Sorry.
No, it's all right. So my dissertation, I'm planning on doing it on female athletes and women in sport. So I'm looking forward to it. I know the workload's going to be crazy, and I'll probably be crying about a week into it. But it's something I'm really interested in. So even just the kind of looking at the female aspect of sports, there's just so much out there right now as well. There's so much being looked into. It's such a big topic.
Yeah.
And there's so much going on like right now, even in tennis, like Serena Williams and her controversy.
We talked about Serena last week.
But it's a constant topic right now. Yeah. And there's so many people talking about it, and it's something I'm really passionate about and really into, so I'm looking forward to doing
How many words is there in a dissertation?
Oh, too many.
Now she's not really looking forward to it.
I know, I say I'm looking forward to it, and then it's like, can you just say the word dissertation?
I'm sorry, I burst your bubble there.
Yeah. All right.
Mine's was 12 and a half.
I've got 5 separate article pieces to do, kind of word count, because if I put it all together, it'd be about 6,000 words or that, but it's not too many words, but a journalist article isn't that long. So I'll do about 5 pieces, maybe about 1,000 words each kind of thing, because articles aren't massive, big, long books.
That sounds not too bad, doesn't it?
It'll be good. So every article will be a bit different, but with an obviously overarching theme and linking all together. So it's a wee bit nicer than just sitting writing the same thing for 12,000 words.
Yeah, I think that opens it up, makes it a bit more creative.
Absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I would be looking forward to reading your blog, because I think the interesting thing about it would be is the actual reality of being an athlete, because I think young people maybe look at, you know, people performing and competing in the Olympics and the Commonwealth Games, and they see them kind of getting the glory and getting the medals, and it's all like kind of, you know, it's great, but there's things in between. There's injuries, there's kind of low points, there are struggles in between, so I think it's good to get the full...
Well, we'll look forward to that, won't we?
We'll be looking at your blog.
I hope not to disappoint.
We'll follow you and your blog.
Absolutely not. You cannot disappoint us. Definitely not. Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Thank you for having me. I've had a great time.
It's been great having you here, Heather.
So you have actually picked a song that has tied in with our lovely karate theme.
I have, yes. I picked Teenage Kicks by The Undertones.
Would that be your song of choice if you are walking on? Like, you're getting yourself hyped up and you're ready to go into a match? Teenage Kicks?
If I could have a whole boxing walkout onto the mat, it'd be Teenage Kicks.
I think one of the questions is, would it be your karaoke song, Jo?
There's every
is it going to be your karaoke song?
I'm having
song?
Serious considerations about it now. This might be my way to get into sport.
Well,
because let's face it, I'm not going
to
be competing.
I'm going to have to change the name of this programme. And Let's Hear It for the Girls might actually be okay.
And there we
go. Let's hear it for Jo and Teenage Kicks.
I could just sing us out every episode.
No, please. Heather, thank you for being here, but we're not doing karaoke.
Tune in next week to Rock Sport Radio with Let's Hear It for the Girls.
Love music. Live sport. Let's hear it for the girls with Maureen McGonigal and Joe Ferry on Rock Sport Radio.